Let me get a C note. Perfect. Hi guys, I'm Maria Illy. You're listening to C Note Christian Hip Hop Culture Podcast, the up and coming artist edition. We're about to get into an interview right now with Mr. Kadastrophe, so stay tuned. What's up, guys? I'm here with Kadastrophe. Oh, I'm going to let you tell the people. Who are you?
Hello, ladies and gentlemen, dogs and cats, children, grown folks, everybody that is in this spectrum that we call life. This is Kadastrophe, a.k.a. M-Dash, a.k.a. Dash is Clay, a.k.a. Marcus Illy. Ladies and gentlemen, how are you all doing?
Well, I'm doing fine. I hope everyone else who is listening is also doing fine. First off, what I really want to ask is, what are you? What are your roles personally in life?
All right. Co-CEO of Illy Enforcement, ENT, short for entertainment, of course. Artist, techno geek, self-proclaimed. Rapper. I'm not owning the title singer yet. Maybe somewhere in the future. Who knows?
A lot of rappers are.
Who knows? I mean, like, aside from Auto-Tune. But anyway, I guess I can call myself an artist. I haven't drawn much in a long time. I did draw the logo of my company that I do co-own with my wife. But, you know, at my core, I'm a man of God who just so happens to have a lot of different talents.
Okay. Any other personal roles?
I'm a parent of a lot.
A lot.
Yes.
Do tell.
I have 8 children.
Wow.
5 in my home, 3 daughters prior to marriage. My wife had 3 sons prior to marriage, and we had 2 of our own while we were married, of course. So that's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 children.
Wow, that's a quiver full.
Yes, it is, but they're all taken care of. So, also a husband. I'm a great husband. Don't ask my wife. Also, I am an assistant manager for Wireless Express, a Sprint dealer, but more recently a T-Mobile dealer, because T-Mobile bought Sprint. Yeah, they masked it as a merger, and they bought them. So, yeah.
Wow. Okay. So, So, you're an artist, but you also have a regular job.
That's right.
So to speak. Okay.
That's right. A magnificent man doing regular man's work.
I'm definitely going to be asking you more details about that shortly. But before I get to that, I'd like to know, where are you from?
I was born in Ahoskie, North Carolina, at a hospital that was known as Roanoke Chuan Hospital at the time, but is now known as Vidant.
Mm-hmm.
But I was raised in Murfreesboro, North Carolina. You don't go to there, you go through there. The area code is 252. I think that's about it. It's 10 miles from the Virginia state line. So if you are not from Virginia or Ahoskie or surrounding areas, you probably don't know where it is. So, yeah.
That's all right. Jesus was also from a city that didn't look like much, but it became much.
Shout out to all my people from Murfreesboro. In the midst of this pandemic, stay inside the house, please. Stop acting like y'all don't know what inside is.
Absolutely. Okay. How has your spiritual journey been over the course of your life, and what brought you to Christianity?
Okay, so when I was younger, I hadn't formally been introduced to Christianity. Only thing I really knew is, you know, every summer, the van come and pick us up from the projects, and we go to vacation Bible school, and we stay for that week. You know, we had a Bible study. We have fun, you know, learning stuff with the Bible study teachers. But as far as the information that we're given, wasn't really being retained. I honestly just really wanted to get to the end of the week because I know they gave out candy and snacks. And that's what we knew. If anybody who knows from my projects in Murfreesboro, North Carolina, when that van came and picked you up, probably it was a Nebo Baptist Church. They know when that van came and picked you up, you about to get chips and hot dogs and stuff at the end of the week. And then, you know, if you learn, they really minimize it when I think about it, because you had to learn maybe a verse. I remember specifically a verse that I had, that I learned, and I remember that won me like a prize at the end of the week. It's the Lord is my shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Psalms 23:1, I believe. Psalms 23:1. And that's how, I said that to say how simple the learning process was there. That's all you had to learn. You learned that line. You didn't even have to learn the other part. Like, there's no, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. There's no, he making me lie down in green pastures. Like, right. I had no idea what that was until I was, like, older. Mm-hmm. But, yeah, Vacation Bible School was it for me as far as Christianity. I really didn't even really know the concept of Christianity. I just know I was at church. But then as time progressed, I think maybe around high school, that's when I started getting deeper into it, because I started going to church. What is that church called? I feel so... Oh my gosh, I really can't remember it right now. New Haven Baptist. New Haven Baptist Church. That's still the church my mom goes to right now. But that's the church where I got closer. You know, there were other churches I went to in the process, like in the midst. Really, it was only one. That was this church that my sisters went to, and that was Mount Moriah Baptist Church. I used to go there for the same reason I went to Nebo. Vacation Bible School. You know, I knew the people there more because my sisters went to the church. But outside of that, same exact reason. But when I got to New Haven, I started soaking it in. You know, I was in the choir. I was a youth vice president. Really, I was youth president because our youth president was never there. So I always assumed her role. I was like right-hand man to the pastor. Like the pastor, who was also my cousin, Lloyd Gatlin Sylvester. Shout out to my cousin. He preached at my father's funeral and did a great job. He would pray with, you know, all of the church staff, and then he would pray with me separately before he went out to a sermon. I say that just to say how that's the role I played with him. And so there I was devout, like super devout. I didn't miss Bible study on Wednesday. I didn't miss choir practice on Saturday. I was early on Sunday. Oh, excuse me, y'all. I promise it's not Corona. I really, 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 really was devout in it. And so then when I started getting to their church, that's when I got my first job.
Bless you again.
I hate asthma. But I got my first job. And over the course of time, I grew in that job. So I got a position as the produce manager. I got a position as the produce manager because the previous produce manager got fired. Shady business was going on. I don't know. But but in that job, I had to be there every Sunday from 8 a.m. to 2 p.m. for the reason that the store, like the grocery and all the other parts of the store, They got their grocery truck Monday, Wednesday, Friday. I got my truck on Sunday, so I had to sign invoices and things of that sort. So, you know, put new stuff out, rotate, you know, everything that comes with working produce. So with that, I missed church more. I missed church more because it was some days that, you know, I had my assistant produce manager able to fill in and whatnot. But that was very rare. So it got to the point that people from the church started coming to my job and, you know, I don't want to say harassing me, but they really just kept coming at me like, yeah, you don't have church. You don't have to work every Sunday, you know, like really coming at me about my job. And that left a sour taste on my mouth, but it didn't make me leave. What did make me leave that church was when I was at choir practice and there was a girl who was, you know, doing a solo. And it was just, you know, your voice will only do what your voice will allow you to do. And so that girl, it was a note that they wanted her to hit. She just couldn't hit it. And they really chastised her about it. And that really rubbed me the wrong way, because I was thinking to myself, the purpose that we are here for is, you know, we're singing for God. We're not singing for the people who want the pitch to be perfect. You know, I mean, if that's the case, y'all, I mean, try to find somebody you can hire to be here. Because there were plenty of people around the area who were known as singers. But, you know, you guys stuck with your members, and that's what you got from your members, you know. And that made me, like, that turned me off. Because they were really, 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 really being really brash about things that, in my opinion, weren't as important as, you know, being there for God. Because when I say I was, when I was there, I was really there. When I was really there, I was really there. Like, until adulthood, I had never been that devout as far as Christianity. I got baptized, I got saved, and became a member of that church. I still, at my mom's house somewhere, my certificate of baptism is in there somewhere. If you're young and you're from the 90s in baptismal, you know what's going on with that certificate of baptism. So after that, I went cold on church for a long time, like a long time. You know, I graduated high school. I got accepted into East Carolina University in Greenville, North Carolina. I went to school there, which was about 1:15 from my hometown. And I was in Greenville for 6 years. I was in Greenville for 6 years. I went to school for 3. And in that 6 years I was there, I might have went to church 3 times. Maybe. And 2 of those times, my sister made me go. And I'm exaggerating. It was maybe 4 to 5. Something like that. But the majority of those were at my sister's church, the church that she's still a member of now. You know, and when I went to my sister's church, you know, I enjoyed it a lot. You know, I felt the resemblance of, you know, past is of the church that I went to before I went south. You know, I even was planning on becoming a member there. I remember telling my sister, and she cried and everything, because my sister's so dramatic. But you know, stuff in my personal life was going on that, you know, I ended up just leaving Greenville because personal stuff in my life just was not on point for me. And, you know, I was at a point in life where I was living crazy already. Mm-hmm. But, you know, the personal aspect, when I say personal, I don't mean partying and stuff like that, because I was doing a lot of that. I did a lot of that in college. I mean, like, my in-home situation, because at this time, I had a daughter, you know, and she was, you know, turning 2, and me and her mom were not on the greatest terms. You know, her mom did a whole lot of stuff that I didn't agree with, and I did plenty of stuff she didn't agree with, and, you know, we were shacking up, and it got to a point where I had to get out of that place. I got my daughter and told her, I'm taking my daughter, and I went back to my hometown. So then from there, I had another relationship, because listen, me and that daughter's mother that I moved out from with, me and her, it was like a turmoil, like always. Like, for these, we were together for 2 years. For the second year, it was always turmoil, like constant, whether it was because of me or because of her, you know, it was constant. And during that whole process, I stepped out and was dealing with someone else as well, who also ended up pregnant. Now, when I dealt with her, when I left Greenville, that's who I ended up with. So me, my daughter with the ex from Greenville, and my current girlfriend at the time, You know, that's who I was with. You know, I would sometimes stay at her mother's house, sometimes stay at my parents' house, but for the most part, I was staying at my sister's house. You know, fast forward, I moved to Raleigh with that same girl that I moved, that I started dealing with when I moved back home. So, when I got to Raleigh, when I first got there, it was party, 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 party. Really? No. Let me retract that. When I first got to Raleigh, it was work, 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 work. Because, you know, first thing that on my mind was provide, provide, provide. Honestly, that's the way I was raised. That's the thing that I know. You know, my natural self, my reaction to hard times is always going to be work. That, well, in my natural mind, it was always that work, work, work. Because, you know, one thing that the verse that always rung in my head from New Haven, you don't work, you don't eat. That's something that always rung in my head when it came to work. So that's what it started as. You know, we got an apartment. Everything was great as far as money. Mm-hmm. But, you know, damage had been done personal wise. And so, you know, there was bitterness on both sides. So we parted ways as well. After we parted ways, that's when I got back into the church side of things. I had a roommate I roomed with my cousin. We got an apartment together, and she also had a boyfriend who eventually moved in with us. His dad I met his dad. Now his uncle is a pastor. I started going to his uncle's church. Now, again, in the midst of all this, this is after me and the girl that I got back with when I moved home. In the midst of this, after we stopped in Raleigh, after we separated, then I met my now wife, then acquaintance. But in that same era, I started going to church at, you know, my roommate's uncle's house, our church. Mm-hmm. His uncle's church was cool. I liked the whole worship side of things, but it just was stuff in there that just didn't sit right with me. You know, I'm not a fan of the pastors coming and trying to force you to the floor. I'm not a fan of that. Mm-hmm. And I saw a lot of that. And then, you know, I'd been in there, and there was times where the pastor was putting people's personal business out to the floor. I didn't appreciate that either. So I was like, I'm not feeling that. But when I met my now wife, she was very devout in her Christianity. And, you know, I was on the way there, but I wasn't taking it serious. I wasn't. Because I was still living in the mind where, okay, I'm going to see what I can get out of her. That's the mind I was living in. But then when things, you know, when things elevated to what my mind was, you know, looking for in the first place, and I saw her reaction to it, she was not happy when sinful things were happening between us, you know, to the point that it really, really, really bothered her. Like, really bothered her. And when I saw that it bothered her that much, it made me rethink things. Mm-hmm. But then, from there, you know, I started, you know, I went to, you know, meet her family. You know, I went to church with her in her hometown. And almost immediately after I started going to church with her in her hometown, you know, it's like from then till now, it was just like a series of miracle after miracle. Even when nonsense happened from in between, it was still miracle after miracle, miracle after miracle. You can't really...
That's crazy.
The type of stuff you can't really predict. Mm-hmm. And so then we got married. When we got married, that's when the spiritual floodgates opened. Mm-hmm. I say that to say this. When I say the spiritual floodgates open, every type of demonic force you could think of was throwing itself at me and her. But I feel like my demons were like a little bit more sporadic and radical than hers, maybe. You know, mines were something that was not internal. If my demons come out, you're going to see it externally. It's not something that you have to know me to see. It's not something that is going to sit on the inside. Mm-hmm. It's going to be something that you see, oh, he did that? That type of demon. That's what was happening. That's what was happening, because it was in my mind when we got married. I really wasn't aware of all of this stuff in my mind. You know, I really wasn't aware of all this stuff. But then when it came out, it came out. And when they came out, it felt like I could not find an answer to fight it. You know, I tried to use every coping mechanism I could find, mm-hmm. to subside it. But, you know, I mean, this is years into our marriage. This is going on constantly. This is years in. Couldn't mm-hmm. find a coping mechanism that worked. You know, and in my mind, I didn't really know about, you know, I think I know how to pray naturally. Mm. But in the time where I need to do it the most, my mind wasn't going to it. That's not the first place my mind went to. Mm-hmm. My mind went to, you know, smoke, drink. That's what I know. And so I finally, after seeing, you know, now that I think back, most of the time when I came to a revelation, I was about to say revelation, y'all. But when I came to a revelation, it was off of seeing my wife's reaction. Because even when I made the change earlier, it was off of seeing her reaction. And in our marriage, we was deep into, y'all. Like, it wasn't like something that was here and gone the next day. No, it lasted. And mm-hmm. and seeing her reaction made me start rethinking again. It's like I had eras of transformation. You know, this era of transformation, it was like an initial transformation, but, you know, it wasn't a full transformation. Then it's like my transformation happened piece by piece until I got to the point where all the stuff that would work, that used to worry me about whether I'm going to do this or not do this, just mm-hmm. left. You know, because if you know, like I know, if you've lived a life where you were a promiscuous male and you transform into not being that, mm-hmm. you live sometimes in a brain where you may question whether you cannot do something or not. Mm-hmm. You know, you may feel like you might be subject to it happening again.
Yeah, the devil likes to remind you of your past mistakes.
That and that left me. Now, you know, I still had a little bit of PTSD, mm-hmm. you know, mm-hmm. where I would be completely innocent and be like, am I guilty? but you know, that was the biggest part of my spiritual journey. And then that leads up to now, where I think this has been my strongest leg in the race as far as my spiritual journey, because certain things, now again, I'm still learning to hear God's voice. You know, I'm still a rookie in that, you know, and that's okay, because I cherish the actual journey. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm a part of the long game. You know, that's what I like. I don't want quick stuff. That's not for me, because quick stuff leave quick. But mm-hmm. I'm learning and still happily learning. I don't have any issues with the progress. I can be content in what I'm in until what God gives me arrives. Mm-hmm. I'm there. I'm probably one of the most content people you're going to meet. I'm probably one of the most humble people you're going to meet, because I live modest anyway. Mm-hmm. I live modest. I'm cheap, y'all. I'm cheap, you know? Y'all, frugal, cheap, however you want to put it, that's me. That's me, you know. Anytime I get anything for myself, I didn't do it. My wife bought it. That's just being honest. So, because now my journey in spirituality has made me want to be healthier as far as my body. Mm-hmm. You know, you know, certain music. This is the first time ever that music that I listen to, because I'm a hip hop head. Mm-hmm. Like, I love rap music. I love rap music in its entirety, both sides of the Christian and not Christian. And that's as honest as I can be. But even now is the first time that I can never say that music that I wasn't listening to, that I was listening to, you know, prior to, that I'm not listening to now. Now, there's still some that I do. I'm mm-hmm. still a work in progress, y'all. Mm-hmm. But this is the first time that it's ever, you know, struck my mind to say, okay, find something else to listen to, you know?
Right. Okay. Wow. Well, that's a very interesting spiritual journey.
Hey, I don't think mine is no different from nobody else as far as the length of the journey. It's just mine just happens to be a different story than someone else's.
Well, I mean, I think that you're actually a humble man of God to lay it all out, you know, like that. That was great. Okay, so what brought you to Christian hip hop then? Because that was like the long drawn out spiritual journey.
For sure. Okay. For sure. Because where I come from, you got to understand, where I come from in rap, mm-hmm. because I started rapping when I was 13 years old. Started writing when I was 12. Mm-hmm. Now, when I first started rapping, we in the era of shoot 'em up, bang, bang, shoot you 25,000 times, and you going to die, and all of that. You know, that's the era I was in. Or you know, I got the kilos of cocaine by the couch. I got the money in the mattress. You know, that's the era that I was in. And at that time in my life, I hadn't experienced none of that. Mm-hmm. But that's what I wrote, because I knew people, mm-hmm. a lot of people, and you know, I wrote their stories. I didn't write mine. You know, but aside from that, my mind frame was, I'm going to be the best rapper out here. Mm. I'm gonna be the most intricate when I write, and when I deliver it, you're not gonna get it right away. You're gonna have to maybe catch it tomorrow, and so forth and so on. And in my hometown, at one point, it was like a rap war between who's the best, between whose crew, and all of that. And you know, my crew was on top. That's just to be honest. And that, you know, that made me want to outdo people even more, because it got to the point I wanted to outdo the people in my crew even, mm-hmm. you know, not in a way with any malice, but just to, you know, be that competitive mm-hmm. guy in rap. And so in Christian hip hop, it's not really a place for that.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So that's what I had to leave alone. And honestly, it took a lot of my wife nagging me for me to get it, because I wasn't paying her no mind at first, because I just wanted to be the best rapper in the world. I really didn't even care if I was known as that, you know, as long as I got respect. Mm-hmm. I didn't care about the fame, never care about the fame, still don't care about the fame. That's I always rap for the love of the art. Mm-hmm. You know, if I could find different ways to say this, or if I could make three words rhyme with one, things like that. That's mm-hmm. what I would focus on in writing. But I mean, as simple as I can make it, Christian hip hop, my wife, that's who got me there.
Okay, so I know you say you didn't care about the fame or being known. You only care about the respect. So what exactly, being that you didn't care about the fame before and you still don't care about the fame now, obviously, what exactly is the difference from when you were a hip hop artist compared to now being a Christian hip hop artist?
It's a message that's to be said. Mm-hmm. And it's a message that's to be heard. It's mm-hmm. a message that is detrimental to be heard. Also, you know, it can be delivered in a way that I feel hasn't been done before in Christian rap that may be more suitable to reach the masses. Now, again, not about fame for me still. But what I will say is, this is the word, and this is the word that needs to reach the masses. Mm-hmm. You know, and the masses, I mean, it's just that, the masses. This, mm-hmm. and you know, whether it be God facilitating it, you know, whether it be, well, really, that's it, God facilitating it, because I'm not gonna, you know, use manipulative tactics to reel people in. And, you know, I'm not a fan of, oh, man, you got to make a hot hook so it's catchy so people can, you know, vibe to it. You know, that's I get it. That's cool and all. Mm-hmm. That's the business side of things. But I'm not into conforming my sound. Now, if that comes from my sound genuinely because it's something that I grow into, then great, because I'm still not, you know, I'm not stepping outside of myself. Right. But I do understand that people have to be reached. Now, okay. I'm gonna put some legwork in, but definitely God plays the biggest role in that.
Okay, so you're not against a catchy hook. You just want it to be something that's natural and not just you just trying hard to get the catchy hook.
Because that takes away from the article, the artistic process.
Right.
Because now, if I'm focused so hard on making a catchy hook, quote unquote, then that takes away from other parts of the song. Because if it comes naturally, that's just something that comes out without me even trying. Mm-hmm. But if I'm trying to make a hook that's catchy and I spend hours writing a hook and I ain't even wrote a verse yet. So, yeah, that's where I stand on that.
Okay. How has Christian hip hop influenced you? Or how do you feel that it has influenced you?
Well, for one, what I talk about is definitely influenced that. But also,
not just your own. I just mean Christian hip hop in general. How do you feel it has influenced you?
Also, Christian hip hop has influenced me in a way where I feel it's pushed me to be more vocal about my style of rap. Because, like I said, I don't feel like I've heard it before, but on the same token, it has also made me want to, because this is more so on the industry side of things, it made me want to, you know, introduce a different format. Mm-hmm. You know, because when we think about the word industry, you know, you can't help but to think of the powers that be that live in that industry. And from my research and from what I've seen, that isn't really a difference in Christian hip hop. You know, it's made me, Christian hip hop and what I've read and researched on the industry has made me even more stern on keeping a specific certain level of integrity, not only in me, myself, period, but in my music. Mm-hmm. And also, when I hear different artists, you know, I really feel like Still Sharp and Still. And I don't mind being influenced or inspired by other rappers. So when I've heard rappers in Christian hip hop that I felt were, you know, really good, it's inspired me to, if I hear something I like, normally, almost immediately, I start writing. Almost immediately, because, you know, it makes me think of the tools that I have in my, you know, the tools that I have in my weaponry as far as lyricism goes. And then it makes me like, oh, I can add this style in, or I could mix and match that with my style, or I can try to scheme with this pattern or that pattern. And that has also been an influence. But on a grander scale, the influence, I feel like there is a lot of influence that Christian hip hop should have that it doesn't. Mm-hmm. And I, in a perfect world, want to get with these artists in Christian hip hop, these influencers, and try to drive that influence home. Because I feel like it's not a matter of if the influence is there, if the music is good. It's just a matter of people not really paying attention to it. Mm-hmm. Because I know when I was rapping secular back in the day, somebody tried to talk to me about Christian hip hop. I'm like, man, ain't nobody trying to hear that. So, you know, that's a factor, and that push means a lot. That push, that influence, because if you hear somebody like, let me think of somebody big in the secular rap world. If the baby right now said, I'm doing Christian hip hop, and he start naming Christian hip hop artists, the people are going to look those people up, because the people are, you know, those people are controlled by the secular music. And the music, I hate to say it, the music controls a lot of people. Really does. Mm-hmm. You know, it's a lot of people who do drugs because they heard it in the song. A lot of people who carry guns because they heard it in the song. A lot of lives that have been lost because the person who did it heard it in the song. Mm. And I want that opposite reaction through Christian hip hop.
With your music.
Really, not just mine. The whole community. Just Christian hip hop. Yeah, the whole community.
Okay. So you're also saying that when you hear quality Christian hip hop, it just inspires you to write even more.
Right.
Okay.
Because this is, you know, when it's a gift, you can't help but to. Mm-hmm. And I learned that this is a gift. This is my gift. Rap is one of my gifts.
Okay. So what artists have influenced or inspired you musically?
Bizzle. That's to say the least. Mm-hmm. Solo from Gospel Gangsters. Rest in peace.
Solo. Okay.
Oh my gosh. See, I'm guilty of it. It's a lot. It's people's names I don't even remember.
Mm-hmm. And I mean, any artist.
But Bizzle and Solo, too, the most, for sure.
Uh-huh.
For sure. Okay.
Is it just Christian hip hop?
Now, my influences as far as the way that I rap have definitely been outside of Christian hip hop. You know, for the longest, my favorite rapper was always Joe Budden, for the simple fact that he could rap first, but his music is like extremely honest.
Mm-hmm.
Extremely honest. You know, you can hear when he rap.
The passion
in his voice, and you can tell that it's a true story he's telling. And, you know, most people who hear me rap, that's one thing that I feel that I have a strength in. You can hear, you know, whatever emotion that I want that is in that verse, you can hear it from when I perform it. Mm-hmm. I also was strong in battle rap, like heavy in battle rap. Anything really that involves lyricism at a high rate. Mm-hmm. I'm a fan of, and so Loaded Lux, is my favorite battle rapper because he does not conform his style to the people. Mm-hmm. A lot of people over the years, you know, Loaded Lux he rap too complex. I gotta think too much when I listen to him. Mm-hmm. He won't change it neither, and I respect that because that's high caliber lyricism. Mm-hmm. And he won't diet down for the views or the likes and so forth and so on. Mm-hmm. I could go on forever when we're talking about influences. You know, Jadakiss. Because Jadakiss is one of the people who does one of the hardest things to do in rap, which is take an entire verse and use the same scheme the entire verse. That mm-hmm. is difficult to do. Because you have to really be in tune with your vocabulary, but not only that, be in tune with it and have it accessible as you're writing. Because most people, when they write, in my opinion, when they write with what becomes available to them at the moment. Now, the people who are gifted just happen to have more available to them at the moment. Mm-hmm. And he just seems to have a whole lot available to him at the moment. Like, you rhyme the same word the entire verse. That's extremely difficult. And people will listen to it and think his verse ain't complex because there's no punchlines in it or nothing like that. But it's hard to write with the same rhyme for 16 bars. And he do it for more than that, for 32 to 64 bars.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah. I think those are my biggest influences. I'm from North Carolina, so I'm going to go ahead and say J. Cole just because he's, you know, the conscious rapper and so forth and so on. He really hasn't changed himself too much as far as appearance.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. And I know you said earlier that you have been rapping since age 12, correct?
Right. I've been writing. I didn't start rapping actually until 13.
Okay, so you've been writing since 12, rapping at 13. And I know... since you've been rapping so long, then you probably have secular rap videos that are still spiraling around on the internet.
Yeah, it's not much of it, though.
Not much of it. Okay, now, what would you say to listeners who hear you now and have gone back to do a little research and heard your earlier secular music?
I would say I won't even listen to it because I'm way better than that now. I'm way better than that. It's no type of feeling behind just bars. Yeah, they sound. It's like basketball. Mm-hmm. You got the players who play with finesse, who, you know, just trying to find the best avenue to score. Then you have the players who do the flashy, ooh, ah. That's what I was doing back then, the ooh, ah, as opposed to now, just playing effectively.
The structure, and so the content is different.
Right.
And how do you feel about, you know, it still being out there? I know sometimes a lot of artists, even whether they be Christian artists or just secular artists, they go back, and there are videos where it's like, okay, I seen this years ago, but then you go back when they're famous or they've blown up, and they're nowhere to be found. How do you feel about your stuff remaining out there?
I don't feel no way about it. It's a part of my journey. Mm-hmm. I don't feel no way about it because, you know, if I don't if I take that down, people don't get to see where I came from. Because mm-hmm. People who knew me back then and they see me now look like a totally different person. And the people who don't know me, they can't see the work that God has done in me if that ain't up. Because this is a journey in its entirety. You can't just bypass the downside and just show the upside, because now people feel like you just was up overnight and you didn't come from anywhere. So then people expect to get to the blessing without the struggle. That's just unrealistic. Now, every blessing doesn't come with a struggle, but a lot of them do. That's a fact.
Okay.
Trust me, I know.
Okay. So if you had to choose a hip hop artist to cross over to Christian hip hop, who would it be?
A little known guy that people don't know about. He's from my hometown. He goes by the name of Rico. Rico the Ruler. If that gentleman crossed over, I promise you, it would be something. If that gentleman crossed over into Christian hip hop, it'd be something serious.
The devil's scared of him, huh?
For sure.
Scared of him crossing over.
For sure, because he has something that I would say I don't, which is an it factor. He has the ability to tap into different age groups. I feel like that I can, but it's not a focus of mine.
Okay.
Now him,
he has like a natural.
Right.
Okay.
Right. Right. And he can rap, like really rap.
Okay.
That's what I feel.
So what are your goals now within Christian hip hop and within the ministry as a whole?
Reach as many souls as I can. That's the simplest form I can get. That's a simple way I can put it. Reach as many goals as I can. I mean, you know, get a couple cars and houses in the process, you know.
Couple blessings.
get a couple blessings, but I only want blessings so that I can be a blessing. Mm-hmm. Be a blessing to someone. But yeah,
right.
At its simplest form.
Just reaching souls.
Yep. That's pretty much it. Yeah. And if I can do that doing something that I love and by way of a gift that was given to me, because obviously if it's a gift, it's sitting in my heart. So yeah. That's what I met with.
Okay. And I truly hope that listeners are in some form blessed by your testimony and your spiritual journey, hearing those stories. I really hope that it helps someone. So what projects are you currently working on now?
I am 50% of the group, Spiritual Lyricists. Now we are working on our album entitled Pandemic, and then from there, then I'll be doing my solo entitled Music to Pray To.
Solo album.
Solo, yep.
Music to Pray To, solo album. Okay, cool. Okay, yeah. So what do these two albums entail? Tell us a little bit about that.
Pandemic is pretty much music that pretty much came out of the pandemic. You know, anything that was on our minds, on our hearts, it was formulated into a song throughout this pandemic, because this is something that a lot of people have never witnessed in American history. And then on top of that, you got, you know, this tragedy as far as police brutality happening.
Right.
A lot of that stuff, a lot of things that will speak to the police brutality, they're probably going to come out by way of being like Lucy's, just, you know, one or two tracks here and there.
Mm-hmm.
Because that probably won't, you know, be a part of Pandemic. We may touch on it the here and there, but this is more so, I think the Pandemic album, throughout this pandemic, is a chronicle of our spiritual journey throughout it, pretty much.
Mm-hmm.
Because everything that is on that album was a real feeling and a real thought during that time period.
Mm-hmm.
During this time period, better yet. So yeah, that's what Pandemic is. And the music to pray to is just that. You know, every mood that you can have in being a Christian is what I aim to express on Music to Pray To. Because okay. Because you don't have to pray about being down. You don't have to only pray about being down. Every prayer is not going to be about being up. Every prayer isn't going to be about being sad. Every prayer isn't going to be about being angry. They all coincide together. And when you put them together, you got music to pray to.
Okay. So with the album, even both albums really, are artists only hearing your feelings throughout the pandemic, or are they also hearing how God kind of dealt with you during those times, and are they going to actually be able to learn from these moments?
Obviously, yeah, for sure. You can't really have the feelings without that.
Mm-hmm.
Because now you just got feelings, you just got feelings. And you just kind of just left with feelings and no answers as to what to do with those feelings.
Okay.
So I can't give you the product and not give you the answer to it. You know what I'm saying?
So listeners can really expect some spiritual growth from the album.
For sure.
Cool.
If you're listening, that is.
Cool. All right. So what song did you submit for us today?
God's Not Dead.
God's Not Dead. Tell us a little bit about that.
Okay. God's Not Dead is pretty playful. You know, it's...
Okay.
It's pretty playful. Me and my wife who make up spiritual lyricists. You know, it's a old school feel. You got the scratching on it, just like back in the day.
Okay.
Old school hip hop. But the purpose of the song... It's pretty much it's a protest to the violent protests. Because although we don't directly speak to the violent protests, the looting and so forth and so on, mm-hmm. all of that negativity that comes from it, because if you're doing a peaceful protest, it's done in positivity.
Okay.
But even though we don't speak to that directly, it's like a... It's a hidden message.
Mm-hmm.
Because those people who are doing the violent protesting, the looting and so forth and so on, because they say we're tired and we want to do something about it. If you feel you yourself want to do something about it, just you.
Mm-hmm.
Now, obviously, there's some wires that's being crossed there, because, you know, if you feel you want to get revenge,
mm-hmm.
if you're a Christian, you know that vengeance is not yours. It's that's set aside for God. And for those people who are trying to inflict revenge on our oppressors, because they are our oppressors, that's not something that I'm arguing. First mm-hmm. and foremost, those police officers are wrong. Any person who moves in racism is wrong. Any person who feels like they're superior to any other race is wrong. First and foremost, let me put that out there.
Mm-hmm.
But if you're moving on your own, then... You're moving as if God's not alive.
Mm-hmm.
And God is alive. And that's the purpose of this song, to say God is dead. I mean, God is not dead. Forgive me, y'all. The purpose of this song is to say God is not dead. Because
yeah.
my verse entails everything that he's done for me.
Mm-hmm.
Everything he's done for me and so forth and so on. And so I came from nothing. I can literally say I came from nothing. I grew up in the projects.
Mm-hmm.
I grew up on welfare. Mm-hmm. I grew up poor, below the poverty line.
Mm-hmm.
And God brought me to where I am now. So if he can do that, not only did he do that for me, but multiple people, like thousands to hundreds to millions of people
mm-hmm.
had this same story that I've had and have been lucrative and successful.
Mm-hmm.
So if he can do that for hundreds of thousands of to millions of people, he can handle this light work. He's done a lot more with less. Mm-hmm. And this is to say, look, God ain't dead. He's not dead. So please stop trying to do his work. Mm-hmm. He got it. And that's the purpose of this song. But it's playful just to, you know, make it enjoyable, make it a little vibrant in these dark times.
Okay. Okay. And I think that is something that a lot of listeners love about music in general, is that you can be honest. Sometimes, I mean, it can be very brave even to speak up. And you know, speaking of that, I actually heard where you had actually spoke out about some of your feelings towards the riots and the looting and mm-hmm. the protests. I heard a little bit of a little snippet of that. Mm-hmm. and obviously you were not very happy with some of the looting and the riots. Yeah, that
I'm not happy at all. It's not a very happy, not happy at all.
Mm-hmm. So, and you think that there's a better answer?
For sure.
Okay.
And they think that they think they have the answer, you know, in the verse that I'm writing now. And I'll give you a small piece of it because it's going to have to get released sometime soon.
Oh, we're going to play it. No,
I'm not talking about guys not dead.
Oh, okay.
You know, I tell you, pray, you look at me like I'm slow. And tell me that I'm wrong and look at me like you know. You tell me I'm slow for praying and then look at me like you know the answer. Mm-hmm. I tell you that I'm not because I know that you don't. You don't have the answer. You don't have the answer. You have an idea of what you think you should do, but you do not have the answer. You do not have the answer because if you had the answer, did it just come down? Like, did it just pop up? Okay, I know how to end racism. Is that where you're at with it? No, you're not, because if that's the case, all of this long and drawn out protests and so forth and so on, oh, we're not spending money today. Oh, we're going to burn down your neighborhood, even though you're burning down your neighborhood. You're going to burn down this and that, and we're going to burn down Target, and we're going to loot Gucci, and we're going to steal engagement rings for our fiancés that have nothing to do with George Floyd. You don't have the answer, because if you had the answer, you wouldn't have to resort to this. Okay. Because at your core, as people, prior to George Floyd happening, prior to Breonna Taylor happening, prior to Ahmaud Arbery happening, mm-hmm. you yourself did not want to break into a Gucci store. You yourself did not want to break into a jewelry store. You yourself did not want to burn down Target. Because if you did, what stopped you? Mm-hmm. What stopped you? But now, because there's an avenue for anger and rage, you're going to allow Satan to use your mind and tell you that this is the route to go. Mm. And this is the moment where Satan flourishes. Mm-hmm. When he sees that there is an angle of temptation to attack, he goes for it. And these people are giving Satan way more strength than he has. Because mm-hmm. We say it in a song of ours. Who are you to me? Satan, I'm sorry, you're weak. You're not. You're weak because it takes a weak person to try to manipulate somebody at a low point.
Okay.
You're weak. Sorry, Satan. You won't live here. Sorry.
Okay. All right. So, for those of you who are listening, if you're interested in hearing what else Catastrophe had to say during his live Bible study about the riots and looting, you can listen to his Bible study podcast on Spotify. All right, let's get into this song. I'm excited to hear God's Not Dead. Let's hear it.
Yeah. We about to take it back. It's that old school law day.
Making a classic. That old school feel with the new school style. Still tight when I'm about to get loose.
Yeah.
Making a classic.
Our fathers right here.
That old school feel with the new school style.
Been right here this whole time.
Still tight when I'm about to get loose.
My God's not dead, that saved souls since he rose at the blood that he shed. I read the word and felt full like he expanded the bread. All over again, I know I'm destined to win. He made my sin disappear and made a diamond up here. For me, the rhyming was clear and not for a career. Focus on God and pray that you get here. It's God that you should fear, never knowing your time's near. You think that pen in your hand is gonna save you? Think you can use the gifts and things he gave you? The way I see it, God's the one who made you, and birth is revenue, so go do what you've been paid to do. He paid me in spirit. I fear him, cause I know I don't deserve to be near. Shout out to my sons, they will say it's far with the blocks. And when he built me up, I stood tall like a cyclops. My God's not dead. My God's not dead. Right here. And all time. Right here. I'm about to go. Making the class. God's not dead. I don't know what they're talking about. My God's not dead. He's been it all time.
Right here. Check it. Let's go. I woke up this morning with breath I could yawn, with a mouth I can talk with, and I got two legs I can walk with, not just walk. My stride ain't ugly or awkward, my wife is gorgeous, and my children are awesome. That's how I know. What do I know? I tell you when I reach the end. I'm too blessed to pretend, and my blessings extend. I can write an essay like Mexicans about how I thought I couldn't be blessed anymore, then I got blessed again. So if you don't know what I'm talking about, you feel the spirit when you walk in my house. That came from up above. This is like no other love you ever could feel. My cup runneth over, you ain't got enough cups to get filled. This is real. Now back to what I was saying earlier. He lives in the sky where the gates couldn't be pearlier. You heard of the stories of how people got fed, and this is how I know that my God is not dead.
Yeah. Making the class. My God's not dead. My God's not dead. Right here.
I mean, they better recognize. I'm about to go.
Making the class. God's not dead.
You know what they're
talking about. My God's not dead.
I don't know what they've been thinking about.
He's been here all the time.
Right here.
I'm about to go. Put some respect on his name, fam.
Every last one of y'all. I mean, y'all hear what's being said right now? You know, it gotta come straight from God. This ain't human. This ain't worldly.
God's
this is spiritually
not dead.
Done. Nick.
My God's not dead.
My God ain't dead. My God is alive. Jesus ain't dead either. He died and came back. Trying to give y'all that old school feel. All real. My God's not dead. Nah, my God's not dead. Recognize. Oh, by the way, Illy Enforcement, ENT.
God's not dead. My God's not dead. Right here. God's not dead. My God's not dead. Put some respect on his name, fam.
All the way on his name.
Wow, that was something. That was something. I really enjoyed that.
We do what we can.
God's not dead, folks.
He ain't.
They said it. They said it loud and clear. Okay, so, you know, especially after hearing that, like, what else do you do? What else is in your skill set?
Okay. For one, I'm extremely great with people. I don't know if that's classified as a skill set. I classified it as one because I have a lot of patience with people. I am very skilled in the realm of technology.
Mm-hmm.
More so the mobile side of things. I just have an affinity for mobile technology. I don't know. I just love it.
Mm-hmm.
I can draw. I don't really like to anymore, but I can.
Mm-hmm. And you drew Illy Enforcement Entertainment's logo, correct?
I did.
Okay.
What else?
It's a nice logo, too.
Thank you. What else can I do? I used to be in gymnastics, actually. I don't do all the same things that I used to. But I can still walk as far on my hands as I can on my feet.
Okay.
I cut my own hair. I don't know if... That counts.
A little athleticism, a little barbership.
I can cook, actually.
Oh, okay. So the wife's happy.
Yeah, yes, she is. I'm going to stop cooking for her. Because now she wants it too much.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Now, I don't really like to cook, though.
Okay.
I learned it from my dad. Because he never really measured stuff. I don't either. I made some stuff and I didn't taste it at all. So I was kind of giving it to her blindly, and she loved it. So I'll take it.
Okay.
What else am I good at? I think that's all I can think of at the moment. Maybe okay. Something else will come to mind later in this interview. I don't know.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, we have a jack of all trades. I mean, that was quite a few things. And I mean, the song, we all know that you can rap at this point.
I play 2K really good.
Okay.
I'm a gamer.
So, former athlete physically, and now you're an athlete on which console is it? Is it Xbox? Is it PS4? Sony all day. Okay.
I don't step outside of Sony.
Okay. So we have a jack of all trades. It sounds like you do quite a lot. I mean, you're a father, you're a husband, you're a rapper, the owner of a label. I'm doing quite a few things here.
Hey,
I see.
Hey, I do a lot, but I don't do as much as my wife, and she'll tell you.
One thing that I think everybody loves to see is a jack of all trades in Christ. I mean, we just love to see somebody who is very talented, who can do many things, who listens to God's voice and really does what he says, because you know God is going to find somebody to do it. Somebody's going to do it. Yeah, is it going to be somebody, you? Is it, yeah. Right. Is it going to be you or somebody else?
I also think I'm very well at speaking, but to people more so. And when I say people, I mean if I'm talking to a multitude, it's not the same as if I'm speaking to maybe someone directly, or maybe a small group or something like that. You know, because I've had people ask me in the past, and this wasn't even me talking directly to a group of people, but it's like a post or a comment on Facebook or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
And someone commented after me and asked, was I a motivational speaker? And that's happened on numerous occasions.
Okay. So you're pretty good at customer service then.
Oh, yeah. All right. Love me. My customers love me. People in general, I feel like it'd be really difficult for someone to dislike me, because you would have to find an avenue on your own. I'm not going to give it to you.
Okay. Do you freestyle any?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
That's what I started as.
Oh, okay. So you started off as a freestyle rapper.
Yeah, that's what I started out doing. I remember me and a friend of mine by the name of S-Type. We used to be at his grandmother's house next door. His grandmother lived next door to me. We would be there, and he would pick something up. I was starting like a regular, normal freestyle, and as I'm rapping, he would pick something up and keep picking stuff up, and I would rap about what he's picking up until I messed up, and eventually, wasn't messing up anymore.
Okay. And how was that, though? I mean, how was the journey of freestyling? Do you still freestyle now?
Yeah, okay. I do. Not as much as I write,
because
I normally will freestyle way more than I write, but I don't freestyle half as much as I write now, because you know I have so much stuff to write these days.
Mm-hmm.
But you know when I freestyle now it's just really to keep the pen sharp, keep the you know the sword sharp, because when I was doing secular music I did so much more freestyling, because in secular music I feel like I encountered more people in that world at the time. So it was always a cypher or something. And so me, the way I was back then, if I saw a cypher, I had to be in it. If I saw people freestyling, I had to be there. This is the way I was.
Okay. Are you still like that now? You care to drop some diamonds on us?
Sure. I don't mind.
Okay. Well, you have the floor if that's what you want to do.
Okay. So, y'all bear with me. It's been a while. But it's okay. So, God gave me the gift, gave me the spirit. So that means that I'm going to leave everyone uplifted. That's what I do this for. He showed me I'm the best. He showed me that he can do better than any of the rest. My name is Dash and he gave it to me. That's right. Lord died. My life, he saved it for me. So I was born in sin, but God took it away by giving his son. So I'm bright as the sun. That's right. I am the one, but no Neo. That's right, your life support be on zero. If you ain't got God with you, then you might as well have Satan. There ain't no replacing. Matter of fact, in heaven, that's where I'm going to be placed in. Matter of fact, in the spirit, that's what I'm going to be encased in. I'll
do that. Okay, Okay. Okay, when can we expect to hear more from you?
Soon. Now, if you want dates, you probably will have to get in contact with my wife because I'm not the greatest with them. Just being honest.
Okay. But we can definitely keep lock on your website.
For sure.
And your social media.
For sure. I'm working on getting back into my Twitter now. Y'all have to bear with me.
Okay.
Because this was a long time ago on the old email address with an old password. I'm going to figure it out, though. My wife feel like she's going to have to help me. I'm going to figure it out. But for now, you know, I have my fan page on Facebook, which would be Marcus Kadashafi Illy. Okay. And then social media. Also, IG, Instagram, Deuce5. And let me spell it out for you. No capitals. That's D as in Delta, E as in Echo, U as in Uniform, C as in Charlie, E as in Echo, _, F as in Foxtrot, I as in India, V as in Victor, E as in Echo, number 2.
Okay, and it's y'all, in the description.
Y'all bear with me. I'm sorry I speak phonetically. It's just a part of customer service. But but yes, okay. That's my IG. I have a LinkedIn, but I couldn't tell you the link off the top of my head right now.
Okay.
But those are my socials.
And anybody who wants to follow Kadashafi, you can do so by checking out the description. Obviously, all of his social media, website, everything is also listed in the description. So if you would like to get in touch with Kadashafi, you can do so by checking that out. If you could choose just one thing, one valuable point that you want listeners to take from your music, what would it be? From this interview.
That it couldn't be done without God. That's it.
Couldn't be done without God.
Yeah, so, yes, a lot of people would say, God didn't do this. I wrote my lyrics. I sat down for those hours, but God gave me my brain. Mm-hmm. God gave me my mind. God gave me my spirit. God gave me the wherewithal to use that spirit because everybody has a spirit in them. Everybody doesn't use it. So, yeah, that's the biggest thing I can give you because when you move in that and when you know that God has got you,
mm-hmm.
it's a whole nother type of confidence. Mm-hmm. It's a different type of confidence. So listen, I was very cocky before God. You can't tell me nothing now. Can't tell me nothing now.
As a child of God.
Yes.
Okay. And you know what? You are a very talented artist and it's actually admirable, your love for the journey. We can obviously see that you're a man of God, a humble man of God. And I can see that you're going to be blessed tremendously.
Amen, amen. I can only hope that other people are blessed through me.
Yes, and God's Not Dead, that song is super dope. I mean, it's exciting, it's fun, it's straight to the point, you know, letting the world know who our Father is. It's pretty dope. Is there anything else you would like to say to listeners about yourself, your music, projects, vision, beliefs, anything that you want to end with?
This ain't got nothing to do with Christian music. I just want to say this. People, if you are deciding on choosing when to get a new phone, please research it.
Okay, I think that's to your T-Mobile customers.
No. This is in general. No, it's not to my T-Mobile customers. This is in general because if you don't, then because everybody wants a new phone. Everybody's going to get a new phone at some point. And as you walk in the store and go based off what the people tell them, listen, research. Because if you don't, these people can sell you whatever. Then it's going to be too late when you get home and realize that you don't like it. So, yeah. That's it.
Okay. Well, you have it here,
weird,
folks.
Awkward. But yeah, that's it.
One thing, the last thing that Kadashafi wants you guys to know is to research your phone before you buy it.
Mm-hmm.
That's a wrap. Well, Kadashafi, honestly, we love you and we really thank you for taking this interview and anytime. Letting us dive deep into your soul.
Anytime.
See who you are. Anytime. See what you're about.
My life an open book. I don't mind telling the story.
And it's admirable. Again, thank you for coming out. And it's a wrap.
Dash out.
Hey, thank you so much for tuning in to C-Notes Christian Hip Hop Culture Podcast, Up and Coming Artist Edition. We thank you so much for listening. We love you. We thank you so much for tuning in. If you are indeed a Christian hip hop artist and you'd like to be on our podcast and share your music, we definitely want to hear from you. Check out the info in the description. There will be instructions for you on how to be on this podcast. If you are indeed a listener who has been impacted by Christian hip hop in any way, we want to hear from you too. So definitely reach out with the same steps. Follow us on social media. Follow C-Note. Follow Illy Enforcement Entertainment. Thanks again for tuning in. We love you. Be blessed. Let me get a C note. Perfect.